This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Absolute take, right center field, it is off the wall. To second goes Ohtani, to home goes Ohtani, it was a home run.
It was indeed a home run in the Tokyo series this morning. Right now, let's bring to you ESPN senior MLB writer Tim Kirkjian. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, fellas?
We're doing pretty good. You sound tired. Is that because you've been up since like 2 in the morning watching baseball and getting ready and stuff?
I've been tired since 1979, which is the year I started covering baseball. And yes, I've been up all morning watching baseball, but finally we have games that count. I love spring training. I love watching spring training games, but everything changes when the numbers count. And the last two mornings, I was more than happy to get up at 5:45 Eastern time to watch 6 o'clock baseball that really counted.
And it feels fair to say that MLB is so happy that they have not only such a foothold in Japan already, but so many Japanese superstars that have been featured the last couple of days, including the obvious Ohtani home run. How big has baseball, Major League Baseball specifically, because I know baseball's always been big in Japan. How big has Major League Baseball gotten in Japan?
It's enormous, as we saw the last 2 days. I mean, those crowds were unbelievable. And granted, crowds are unbelievable all the time in Japan. That's how much they love their baseball there, and they play it at an exceptionally high level. But when you bring back Ohtani and Imanaga and Yamamoto and then Roki Suzuki today, I mean, no, it was an absolute perfect combination of two teams coming back to play in Japan, and they put on a show. I mean, Suzuki wasn't great today, but the first two pitches were 101 miles an hour. The two guys who started yesterday pitched exceptionally well, and of course, Ohtani got three knocks, hit a home run in the two games, and I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone who rises to the occasion more often and in bigger spots than that guy, and he did it again today.
With the success of course, the Tokyo series and then what we had with the World Baseball Classic, do you think that MLB will try and pursue more of these international series like they're doing the MLB in Monterey? Obviously, we've seen England take part in this. Or is it just Tokyo? Japan is so popular, it just works out with the Tokyo series.
Yes, it's going to keep working out with Japan because they love the game so much. And to repeat, it's played so well over there. But I went to England the last 2 years to do those games from the booth, and it was great. Now, granted, it wasn't the same level of interest or sophistication when it came to the fans in England as you did in
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Japan, but boy, the Cubs and Cardinals a couple of years ago really traveled well there. And it was, England was very well represented at those games. So this is baseball saying we got to grow this game globally. Best way to do it is to take our best players to another country and show everyone what we can do.
Talk with Tim Kirkjian right here on 105.3 The Fan. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I will be embarrassed if I am wrong. You were beat writer for the morning news from 81 through 85 for the Rangers. So you saw some pretty tough baseball, right?
Yeah, we had a debate with Sheldon Ocker, who used to cover the Indians. I claimed that I wrote the most losing game stories in the 80s of any writer. Sheldon told me I'm dead wrong, and I think he's right, but I'm in the conversation there. Yes, the Rangers were pretty bad in the years that I covered them, but it was still such a great thrill for me because I was like 12 years old when I was covering the team. I had no idea what I was doing, but it was great. And I loved being at the ballpark every night, as I knew I would, because this is all I ever wanted to do with my life and my career. But yes, Rangers were bad when I was there. And yet it sure was a fun bad to be around.
I know it took a long time to get to the other side, but was there any level of joy for you when the Rangers won the World Series then a couple years ago?
Well, I'm not allowed to root for anything, and
right.
I don't, but I root for good stories, and that was a great story that the Rangers won the World Series for the first time in their history. And yes, it took me back to my days when I covered the team, spring training of 82. I'd been in town for 3 weeks covering the team. Mickey Rivers, the everyday center fielder, who was making $450,000 a year, asked me, he'd known me for 3 weeks, asked me, "Tim, can I borrow $2,000? I said, "Mick, I'm making $12,000 a year. I don't have $2,000 to loan you." That was my indoctrination to Ranger baseball in spring training of 82. And every day was filled with something funny, amusing, entertaining, and educational.
Did he tell you what the money was going to be for, at least?
I think we all knew Mick had a little bit of trouble at the track, and Buddy Bell, who was the best player on the team, and again, I had no idea what I was doing that spring, but he whispered to me, "Tim, don't loan him any money. You'll never see it again." And Mickey, of course, turned out to be one of my favorite players ever, an absolute gem of a guy and a really good player in his day.
What are some of the storylines that you might be monitoring for this year's 2025 Rangers that we're excited to get started here?
Yeah, well, obviously the key is Jacob deGrom. Exactly what are we going to see from him, and how much are we going to see from him? When he's right, fellas, he's as good a pitcher as we've seen in the last 10 years. I mean, just go look at those numbers from the prime of his career. It was ridiculous how good he was. And it seems like the velocity is up, way up in the 90s, and it looks like he's scaling it back to try to stay healthy. So I think the whole key to the entire pitching staff is what are you going to get from him? But with this much time off and as athletic as he is, my guess is he's going to be a very productive pitcher this year. Not for 230 innings, but if you can get 160 innings out of Jacob deGrom at his best, that's a pretty good thing. So that's the first and foremost thing with the Rangers. The other thing is, their offense is the best in the American League when everyone's healthy, which didn't happen like at all last year because everyone got hurt and a couple guys who weren't hurt didn't swing it like we thought they would. But they are a really good offensive team. So the combination of their offense and Jacob deGrom coming back to lead what could be a pretty good starting rotation, that's a pretty good way to start.
We're all hoping that the pop is back with that Rangers offense, because 233 home runs the year they won the World Series, only 176 last year. You bring in Berger, you bring in Peterson. Outside of just being a quality offense, it feels like a very power-heavy offense, too.
Oh, of course. I mean, Wyatt Langford's only touched where he's going as a major league player. Evan Carter missed most of the year last year. Adolis Garcia just wasn't the same. Josh Young got hurt. Even Marcus Semien hit a slump, and Corey Seager got hurt for a while. So I really like their offense. I just find it hard to believe that all the guys who got hurt or slumped last year are going to do that again. I don't see that at all. I think they're going to score a ton of runs, and they're going to be back well over 200 homers this year. I'm pretty sure of that.
The one and only Tim Kirchen with us here on 105.3 The Fan, the KNC Masterpiece. So getting ahead of myself big time here, but if Bruce Bochy is able to follow the trend he had with the Giants, where you win World Series every other year, and he's able to now win two World Series as the manager of the Texas Rangers, having won multiple with the Giants, what does that do for his legacy as one of the best skippers of all time?
Well, he's already in the Hall of Fame, even though he's still managing. But people will look at him and say, all righty, if they win this year, as you say, that's five World Series in a matter of less than 20 years. And he resurrected the Rangers the minute he walked into the door. I saw it with my own eyes. And the way he managed the Giants, especially their bullpen, is going to elevate him to some pretty high levels here. Not too many guys won five World Series. Again, his career winning percentage is not going to be up there with Joe McCarthy and the greatest managers, Earl Weaver of all time. But when it comes to winning championships and changing the fortune of teams, he's going to be pretty high on that list, especially of the managers we've seen for the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Now, I know we talked obviously about DeGrom and how that does feel so key to everything the Rangers are doing. What's the confidence level around baseball? Maybe what's your confidence level in Leiter and Rocker? Because it feels like a lot is going to be put on them this season as well.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure they're ready, but I'm a big believer that the light goes on. It's the hardest game in the world to play. I've seen people struggle at this at young age, at older age, and you got to give both of these guys some time. Leiter has been up, of course, struggled mightily at times. Rocker's been up and down, minor leagues, everywhere else. But I'm a big believer. You have a great arm. You come from the college program that they came from. It's only a matter of time before both of those guys are not just good, but really, really good. They just need some time to figure this out. And again, you're facing big league hitters on a daily basis. You make a mistake to those guys, they don't hit a line drive single to left field. They hit it 30 rows up. But there's no doubt with the level of talent both those guys have, they will be number one and number two starters in this rotation sooner rather than later.
Do you think there's any hope for a Patrick Corbin turnaround, or is he just somebody who's going to be added because we need a left-handed pitcher and a lot of innings?
Yeah, but that says a lot. I believe he's made 30 or more starts every year starting in 2017. I think he's the only one to do that. And yes, innings are great, but if you're going out there and get pounded, innings aren't that important. But every team needs somebody who is durable and can go to the post, and Patrick Corbin can. He's still got a really good slider, from what I can tell. He's a fantastic athlete, meaning he can make adjustments. So I just think they get a hold of a guy like that who's had some real struggles in recent years, says, hey, let's try this. Hey, let's fix this. There's no telling where he could go. If he's your fifth starter and he throws 200 innings or high hundreds, it's pretty darn good.
And thank you very much for the time. Hope you're able to get some rest. And we appreciate all the information you brought us today.
Okay, fellas, take care.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
Tim Kirchen right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, real quick, I need you to address this, Zach.
Yeah.
From the 214. What is going on with your station? It's playing Chicago Bears and Chicago Cubs sports talk, and they're full of crap. What's the story?
This is strange to me. I don't know, but they're probably talking a lot of Ditkas. There's probably a lot of Ditkas, da Bears, da Sausage, da Cubs, a lot of Ditka talk, a lot of sausages. I think maybe you should just like flip the dial back and forth.
Mm.
Or maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app. I don't know what's going on with you, but nobody else is seeming to have a problem. This might be a user error, and I love you, 214.